podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by SmartThings, the easiest and most affordable way to create a smart home. Protect and control your home from anywhere with no contracts or monthly fees. For 10% off any home security kit, visit smartthings.com/twit and use the code TWIT10 at checkout. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung, HTC, and other Android devices are worth at gazelle.com. Welcome to All About Android, episode number 173, recorded on August 5th, 2014. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Gina Trapani.
And it was so close to being smooth as Jason Howell is not here. But joining us this week is our good buddy, Aaron Newcomb. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, everybody. Good to be here.
Jason had the audacity to go on vacation.
Audacity.
And Aaron stepped
up.
In August. Who goes on vacation in August?
Summer vacation. What?
Really? Aside
Summer
from the entire continent of Europe. But
yep.
But I'm excited to have you back. It's been a while.
Yeah,
since we've been
on the
show
something.
Together.
Yeah,
I filled in when I was out.
Right. I was double A Ron while you were gone.
There you go.
And so we did that fill-in show a while back. But yeah, it's been a few months. Yeah.
But I'm excited because you got a toy for us that we're going to take a look at in a little bit.
Yeah, let's not give it away.
All right.
Super secret here.
Yeah. So we're going to look at that in the hardware block. But then additionally this week, we're going to be discussing some retiring sources, some Google goodness, and some app debates. That said, let's dive right into the news.
This week in Android news.
It's getting to the point where I think that's recorded, and it's as opposed to Brian doing it live.
Oh, you just did that live?
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe I did.
So it wouldn't be a good show without talking about some numbers. Gina, what have you got for us?
Yeah, well, you know, in the old iOS versus Android debate, one of those old chestnuts that always gets trotted out is that Android users don't use the web as much as iOS users. And that is no longer true, at least according to a latest report from Net Applications, which collects data about such things. Its latest report shows that Android has surpassed Apple's platform in web usage for the first time, and just barely. According to Net Applications data, the mobile market share of web usage puts Android at 44.62%, whereas iOS is at 44.19%. So Android users using the web more means that people are looking at more ads, they're interacting with the web more than just using phones for text messages and email. It's really kind of, it's great for the app market, and it's great for users, and it means that even low-end Android phones are getting used to do sort of more advanced things like checking the web. So that's good news for Android, and a nice thing that we can finally retire, yet another thing we can retire in the iOS versus Android debate.
Well, I think this is pretty substantial. I mean, I think it shows I don't know if the movement is the right word. I'm not to get sociopolitical about it, but it shows that, you know, like you said, Gina, it's another number that now has surpassed iOS.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about apps before, you know, how apps have surpassed, and then people say, oh, it's just temporary, whatever, you know, Apple's coming back, and it's like, maybe not. Here's some more evidence just to support that, you know, and it's not a big deal. It's just that there's more Android stuff out there, phones and tablets. So,
I think it does speak to the affordability factor of Android compared to Apple products. You know, where you've got a scenario where within smartphones, Apple were a luxury item, but an item that everyone wanted. But there wasn't really anything else to take the rest of the money. There were just, you know, kind of other phones out there. Mm-hmm. And now what you've got is you've got affordable options, whether it's through Amazon or through some of the other, you know, different manufacturers. And so you've got, well, Apple's still remaining a luxury brand. It's, you know, the numbers are going to grow as people with lower incomes afford a regular old Android phone.
Right. And I don't even know. I mean, it is still a luxury brand, but I think that more and more, especially with the younger crowd, they're gravitating more towards Android. I reposted a picture this week of it was basically a meme that said, here's what I feel like when I use Apple, and it had these two like grandma and grandpa like using their phone, right? And then it's like, here's what I feel like when I use Android. And it showed a thing from Iron Man, you know, using all the screens and stuff around, like, you know. And it was like, yeah, I kind of feel like that. And, you know, I have a son that's a teenager. And with his friends, I think they're gravitating. There it is. Thank
there
you.
It
Man,
is.
Brian, awesome. You know,
wow,
that's really quick.
That's kind of brutal too.
It is a little bit.
I mean, it's no holds barred.
It's a little over the top, but it's true. And I think that my son, who's a teenager in high school, I mean, I can see it with his friends. They're all like, "Oh, do you have the latest, Galaxy phone? The latest Galaxy Nexus, or you have a Nexus, or what do you have?" And like, he's at first when I forced him to use an Android phone, he was like, "Oh, Dad, really? I've got to use this Nexus One, whatever. None of my friends have this." And then now, like, he's happy to sport his Nexus 4 to his friends. He's like, "Yeah, I got a Nexus 4. It runs everything. It's got stock Android. It's really cool." So, yeah, I think there's a shift going on in terms of, before people were like really like lining up to get those Apple products, and now it's like,
I think it's stagnated to a certain degree, and then also as Android has evolved and has gotten nicer and gotten more, you know, it's just interesting to see. Also interesting to see that the audience is in fact growing, like we suspected it is. So, cool. So unrelated to numbers, but kind of honestly unrelated to Android totally, but I thought it was interesting news nonetheless. You've probably seen over the past 2 years or so. Quite often on the show, when we're showing kind of a rumor or some sort of leaked product shot, it came from the same source, which was a Twitter account called @evleaks. And recently, this past week, the guy behind Evleaks, Evan Blass, not only revealed his public identity, but also announced that he was retiring. And that after 2 years of breaking news and being a source of leaked product shots, he's calling it quits. And the nextweb.com has a great interview with him. I thought it was really kind of fascinating from a story standpoint as to the story of this guy, not really so much why he was doing it, but why he stopped doing it. And as always, it comes down to money, which is basically he tried to monetize what he was doing and couldn't do it. And he said he's not going to go back to doing that anymore. He's going to get a job that's got a 401k. And he kind of enjoyed this 2 years. And he says, "Thanks very much." So Evleaks is no more. So now I guess the question is where are all of our leaked product shots going to come from now?
Right. I'm sure that they'll end up going somewhere else. I mean, people really get a kick, I think. People that work for companies that produce these products really get a kick out of, kind of leaking things and sharing things. And I think also sometimes, marketing gets a little crazy and says, "Hey, let's give them a little dog food and, see if they'll bite on this thing." And so I think that there'll be lots of other places that crop up as the place to go. I mean, there's lots of places now, even with a lot of the Android specific stuff, right? There's Android Police, there's Phone Arena. I mean, they get a lot of leaks already. So I'm sure that people will gravitate towards those other options.
When asked how he was able to leak so many products with details at such a high rate of success, his answer was good sources, good colleagues to bounce ideas off of, and good luck.
Yeah.
Which I think
that was a good answer.
Yeah. But I mean, it's I think it was funny. The reason to stop doing it was basically he wasn't making any money doing it and probably spending more time. I feel like, I mean, I know, Gina, you come from a content creation background is similar to how I've done and how Aaron, you do it. It's hard to do this, to be on every day and creating content. And it just brings the question of, is it monetizable? Is it, that's why it's so great to see what Leo's been able to do here at Twit and what other, folks are doing elsewhere, with 5x5 or whomever else. It just shows that if you're by yourself, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It is tough. And it's not, even if you have set up a business the way that a successful business, the way that Leo has, it's a grind. And this guy was a single guy. There was no reason for people to click through to his tweets, to his website. So, and he had a really tech savvy audience that had ad block installed. He was recently diagnosed with MS. So he's concerned about, health insurance and things like, his 401k. And he just said, it's been a great 2 years. I mean, good for him, sad for us. But it sounds like he's just making a very sort of practical life decision.
So
when he was asked who would replace him potentially, he recommended TK O'Connor of TK Tech News. So somebody to add to our source list.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So Evan Blass, thank you very much for all the great leaks. We salute you and best of luck and good luck with your health issues. And hopefully you get that 401k. So
thanks, Evan.
So speaking of things that are going away, here is something that actually may be coming soon to a Play Store near you. There's it's been noticed, I should say, that in some cases when you buy an app on the Play Store, your traditional 15-minute window to return that app actually doesn't disappear for about 2 hours. This was discovered recently and was talked about on Android Police. The fact that actually a lot of apps, especially ones with larger download times, have actually given people 2 hours to return them if they don't like them instead of the normal 15 minutes, which is what you normally have. And they actually reached out to Google on this because they were not sure. And sure enough, Google said, you know what, we advertise 15 minutes. That's what we kind of guarantee, that you get 15 minutes. But that doesn't mean that you can't go more than that, or that we won't give people more than that, especially if they do have long download times. We don't think, you know, they don't think it would be fair, evidently. You know, if it takes you 10 minutes to download a big game and then you got 5 minutes left to return it. I mean, this sounds logical. But they did a test with, you know, a few apps that Brian just showed, you know, kind of saying, okay, let's download some big apps and see how long it takes for us to be able to return them. And sure enough, all of them that they tested gave them 2 hours before the return limit expired. So who knows? Maybe they'll change their policy, or maybe they'll just keep it at 15 minutes to be safe. I'm betting on the latter. What do you guys think?
I'm betting on the latter too.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
That makes sense, right?
I never really, the 15 minute thing never really made sense to me.
No, me neither.
Because I've never been able to make a decision on something in 15 minutes.
No.
Yeah,
no.
why wouldn't they just change it and advertise that it's changed? I mean, things happen all the time. I mean, you know, you get a phone call, you get distracted, you're on a slow connection. Like, why would they just say, hey, it's 2 hours?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It seems like it would be customer friendly. I mean, are you really going to extract so much value out of an app in 2 hours that you're ripping off the developer? I mean, I don't know. As a developer, I'm fine with somebody having 2 hours to decide, and right. then and Google making that explicit.
But. Well, yeah, and it's also funny because you think about, I mean, Lord knows, I mean, I work in comic books. People love their free stuff or any way they can game systems and get stuff at a lower price and things like that. You know, so there is the kind of thing where people are like, oh, I'm going to get the app and I'm going to get whatever I want out of it and then return, say it, get the refund, get the money back. But I feel like any of this stuff that you do is going to last longer than 2 hours.
Right.
Like, even if it's a dumb, you know, dinky little game or something like that, you get more than 2 hours of enjoyment out of it. You get more than 15 minutes of enjoyment out of it.
Especially as apps become more and more complicated,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we're not just talking about playing Tetris, right? And it's like, oh, yeah, I like it or I don't. I mean, we're talking about some pretty intricate games and apps that are going to take you a while to evaluate, truly.
Yeah.
And so I think in the beginning that kind of made sense, but I think they over-rotated on that when they went down to 15 minutes. And now maybe they're just kind of easing up a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know why they just don't make it public, like just say 2 hours. I mean, it would be so much easier for everybody. And grandma's not going to know, right? I mean, yeah. I shouldn't use that anymore. A novice user, I always talk about grandma when I come on the show.
And then grandma's
yeah,
writing.
Grandma's writing going, yeah. in. What are you talking about? Like,
grandma's got an iPhone. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's. I always thought that the 15 minutes were just basically to protect from mistaken purchases.
Right.
Like, oh, I didn't want to buy that. So let me undo that. So if they're giving you a little more time period, you know, because honestly, I install very few apps off the Play Store on my phone. I'm more often on the web and going install to device, and then I install them and I might walk away and come back later. So maybe it's protecting against that as the use case evolves.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, and they did. Did you guys talk about the fact that they changed the in-app purchase policy, like from free to, and part of that was like kids were buying stuff
yes.
all over the place?
The in-app purchase topic has been I don't want to say beaten to a dead horse, but it's been discussed.
You talked
very
about
much.
It, yeah. So I mean, that's kind of in line with this as well. I mean, I wonder if that's part of this as well. Just
it could be. It could be related.
Yeah.
So. Either way, it's interesting. So, Gina.
Yeah. So, not at all really related to this. related to. See, I'm terrible this night. We miss you, Jason. Did I mention that we miss Jason? Great piece over at Ars Technica talking about Android by Ron Amadio, who I'm basically convinced is like the best Android writer / storyteller out there right now.
Mm.
Good job, Ron A. Ron did an experiment where he wanted to see, can you run an all open source Android on a phone? Is Android a viable operating system without any of the proprietary apps? And that's a great piece. It's a couple of pages, and it's really, really interesting for those of us sort of interested in the open source aspect of Android. In short, the summary is you can do it, but it is a huge pain. I mean, you're limited, and it's possible. You've got email and SMS and, you know, a browser and even an app store, if a bit of a primitive app store. But it's really hard. It's hard to find good apps. There's a fantastic screenshot in this piece where Ron is trying to find an open source text editor and like just can't, like there's a bunch of code editors, but there's like nothing that's worth writing on. It's very, very funny. And of course, you know, he was doing this using closed source drivers, which it's almost impossible to run Android on a device without closed source drivers. But great experiment. Ron Amadio at Ars Technica. Is it possible to run Android completely free of Google's proprietary services? And the answer is yes, but it's kind of hard. It's akin to setting up your own email server, I guess, I would say. Neat to see someone kind of using a modern version of Android. And Cyanogen, he installed Cyanogen. And no, you know, what's it like on Android without the Play Store and without any of the Google apps?
Well, I think it also begs the question: is it possible to live a completely open source life at all digitally?
Right.
You know, and I know the you know folks are going to tell me GIMP and all, you know, and all this sort of stuff. But right. I think it's as much of a challenge on the desktop, even now, even today, that as it would be on the phone. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm
not a big open source guy, so maybe
I'm a huge open source guy, yeah. and I can see why this is interesting. But I think also you have to ask the opposite question: like, is it possible to run this without open source? And maybe I'm way off base, but I mean, you have to remember that the kernel, the Linux kernel, is on every Android device, running in the background. So I look at it more as an enablement. Yeah, you're going to run proprietary stuff, and it would be nice if everything was able to be open source. I'd be the first one to call for that. But also, you know, I just don't know if this is the right question to be asking right now. You know, what we can work on open source alternatives to these products. And I think that as Android becomes more and more the platform of choice and we migrate away from laptops and things like that, I think that there will be more software developed that is open source and there will be more choice. But don't forget, the root of this whole thing, pun intended, is a Linux kernel. Thank you. You like that?
Yeah, I did.
is a Linux kernel and a lot of open source development that has gone on ahead of this to make this possible. So there's my two cents.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's great. I love the idea of flipping the framing and saying that Android obviously is impossible without open source. I mean, I think that the bigger question is Android under Google's control? Is Android Google's operating system? And without Google, is Android worth something? And I think the answers to those things are it certainly is. And we're seeing other companies build on top of Android. I don't think that – I don't subscribe to the very radical notion that if you run any proprietary software, then you've tainted your setup somehow and you're not a true open source believer or whatever. But I think it's interesting. I mean, I was surprised at how functional Android was, if not consumer friendly, but how functional it was in the piece in the Ars piece than it was. I was pretty sure going into the piece that it was basically going to be that Android is, you know, barely usable without proprietary apps, and that's actually not the case.
Cool.
And who knows? There may be alternatives too in the future, like Ubuntu Phone or things like that. I mean.
You know, Firefox OS.
Firefox mm-hmm. OS. I mean, there may be open source alternatives that come out if you really want to run a completely open source system. And I mean, that's why a lot of these distributions exist, right, is to give people that choice of starting at least with a completely open system. And then you add in maybe some proprietary drivers on top of it. And I think the same could be true with smartphones, especially since the hardware architecture is essentially, for all intents and purposes, open. You know, it's possible that some other completely open source operating system could come along that people could use if they so choose.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, earlier before the show, I was talking about how it was a slow news week. But sure enough, we start the show, we get some breaking news. And I'll be honest, this is a little bit of a stretch, but still is breaking nonetheless. Samsung has released invites for Samsung Unpacked 2014 Episode 2. There you go.
2014 Episode 2.
Episode 2
in three cities, in Berlin, Beijing, and New York, Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014. They're saying ready, note the date. And those who are astute might notice that the little graphic there looks a whole lot like the Galaxy Note S Finder UI. And the rumors that we're going to get the Galaxy Note 4 will be introduced at this event. But it's Samsung. It's going to be streamed. It's going to be a big stage show. Anything could happen. We all remember the last time this happened.
All right.
So, or was it the last time?
A couple times ago.
Yeah.
Bring on the musical numbers.
Yeah. So, are we excited for the Galaxy Note 4? Or is this something? Is this going to be as much of a sideshow as it was last time?
I mean, we'll see how much of a sideshow it is.
I enjoy a good sideshow. I'm looking forward to the show.
It could be interesting. I don't know. I'm not a big. I don't know. It seems like, you know, once you get to the fourth iteration of something, you know, the amount of changes that they're baking into these things are so minor. It's just an iteration. You know, is it really even worth making a huge show over? Obviously, somebody at Samsung thinks it is worth doing.
In three cities streamed globally.
Yeah.
Beijing.
I mean, my prediction is Germany. There will be very little actual news or improvements that come out of this, out of the Galaxy Note 4. It'll look exactly like the Galaxy Note 3 with a couple little tweaks, and that'll be it.
Wow. All right. Let's note Aaron's prediction.
Note my prediction. Write down the time and date.
I think it will blow our minds and it will change everything. No, I don't know.
Okay. So we have to have contrarian. Opposing viewpoints.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it's not interesting.
Yes. Well, there you go. So there's some breaking news for this week's show. So, all right. Let's thank a sponsor.
Yeah, let's do that. This week's episode is sponsored by SmartThings. I was very excited that SmartThings is a sponsor here at TWiT because I backed their Kickstarter project a couple years back. I've owned Kit for a long time, and I absolutely love it. SmartThings makes it easy to protect and control your home with your smartphone. You can adjust the lights or temperature, keep track of whether your kids come home from school on time, and even check to see if you remember to close the garage door. And you can do it from anywhere using your iOS or Android device. You start with one of the three smart home security kits. Each kit contains one SmartThings hub and enough sensors and outlets to turn your home into a smart home in as little as 15 minutes. You can see those sensors there that Ron's shown. Just plug the SmartThings hub into your router and you add the sensors and outlets by following the instructions from the free, easy-to-use SmartThings app. In addition to SmartThings' own sensors, you can add hundreds of other home automation devices from a variety of manufacturers like GE, Honeywell, or Aeon, as well as the latest connected devices like the Nest thermostat, Philips Hue, Wemo, Sonos, and more. SmartThings also lets developers create new ways to use the product and then publishes these integrations and features in its app so that all of its customers can use them. With thousands of developers adding new integrations all the time, you can update your smart home as often as you want to fit your preferences. So SmartThings offers three home security kits, which they call Smart, Smarter, and Smartest. The Smart Home Security Kit is $329. It includes one SmartThings hub, one SmartSense motion sensor, one SmartSense presence sensor, and three SmartSense multi-sensors, say that three times fast, which are multi-purpose sensors for doors, windows, and drawers that sense when things open and close and can measure temperature, acceleration, and vibration. I used to have one of these on my mailbox, so I would get a push notification when my mail arrived, my physical paper mail. The Smarter Home Security Kit is $479. It adds an additional motion sensor, a smart power outlet, and a siren strobe alarm. The Smartest Home Security Kit is $599. It includes all the above, plus another presence sensor, power outlet, and an outdoor light plug and control power outlet. Each of these kits offers an affordable way to secure and automate your home without any of the contracts, monitoring fees, or hidden charges associated with traditional home security companies. To get started creating your smart home, visit smartthings.com/twit, and you can save 10% off the purchase of any home security kit by entering the code TWIT10 at checkout. You'll also get free shipping within the U.S. That's smartthings.com/twit, and remember to use the code TWIT10 at checkout. Thank you so much to SmartThings for sponsoring All About Android tonight.
All right. I love SmartThings. They're so cool. I wish I had a home to use them in. I mean, I do. I just have an apartment, and it's two rooms, and it's not very smart. But if it was smart, I'd have these things in there. So there you go. Let's talk about hardware. Remind me to stop improvising about the sponsors. Okay. So, Aaron, you got something pretty cool for us.
Yeah. So I'm sure you guys have talked about this in the past. This is the NVIDIA Shield tablet. Actually, you want to do the honors. Ooh, want to talk about it?
There you go. Yeah,
have
sure.
fun. Oh, look, play, there we go. Play away.
There we go.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
So
you really don't like this camera angle.
I don't like that camera angle, but that's okay because I can now I can talk a little bit more easily.
Cool.
So yeah, so this is the Shield tablet, and man, this thing is awesome. So that's the quick version.
That's the takeaway.
That's the takeaway. It's very similar in size to the Nexus 7, actually, but it feels much larger because there's a little bit less bezel on it.
I think it's bigger. I mean, it feels
it's a little
bigger.
Bit bigger. Yeah. It is bigger in size, but not much when you put them side by side. It's a little thicker, a little heavier, but not in a troublesome way. It's just like you notice the difference if you have them one in each hand, but it's not a really a big deal. Some people are saying, oh, it's so heavy. It's so thick. You know what? It's really not. That's exactly the way they sound when they say it.
Like, you know, Aaron has no patience for the people who say that.
I don't anymore. I was really worried about that before I bought it.
It's so heavy.
It's like a first world problem. Like, my tablet's too heavy. I can't hold it and watch my show anymore.
Is that what grandma says about it, Aaron?
Yes. Yeah. Not good for grandmothers. But it actually feels pretty good to hold. It's pretty easy to hold with one hand. It's got that back like you just saw. It's kind of it's supposed to be rubberized, but it actually feels a little bit more like leather. At least to me, when I hold it, it has a nice grippy feel, which is great. This thing, you know, has the NVIDIA K1 processor with 192 freaking Kepler cores. So it is super, super fast.
Kepler cores?
Kepler is what they call them. That's what the K is for. NVIDIA K1.
We're like in Star Trek.
I don't know. That's what they call it. But just the fact that it has that many cores is so crazy.
Yeah.
The screen is really, really nice. Some people were saying, I read some reviews that said, oh, it's not Retina. Well, it's not Retina, but guess what? It's perfectly fine for all the games that I've tested it on. The only problem with the screen is it does have a little bit of glare. So if you're going outside to use this thing, you're going to have a problem, or you're going to have to turn the thing all the way up on bright, which may affect your battery life. It does have HDMI out, which is great. We'll be using that a little bit later on. It does not yet. It's not supported under the Chromecast screencast function. Which would be nice for non-gaming, although the HDMI out is really what you want if you're going to be gaming on your big screen TV anyway. The sound is wicked awesome. We'll be demoing
speakers,
that.
Yeah,
the speakers are really good. So when you're holding this thing, it really does enhance the gaming experience. They thought about that a lot. The battery life is pretty good. Some people were saying, you know, if they just do nothing but watch Netflix, they were only getting like 4 to 5 hours of battery life. I've been getting a lot more than that. So... It's very comparable to the Nexus 7 in terms of battery life. The only complaint I have from a hardware standpoint is the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi I found is not great. I mean, it's okay, but it's not as good as my Samsung Galaxy S4. And it's a little bit worse than the Nexus 7. In terms of space, it comes with this is the 16 gig version. And when I first thing I did after I booted it up was I went to see how much space was available. Cause we talk about that a lot in terms of not having enough, room to run things. There you can hear the sound. It's pretty good actually. But I actually had about 13 gig available for apps. Now Ron is running into one of the problems I have with it as well as the buttons. The buttons are, they're there, but they don't, I'd like a little bit more click when you press the buttons so that you know that you've actually pressed it. I find it a little bit hard when I'm playing a game to do what Ron was just doing, which is turn down the sound or turn up the volume. Yeah. It's a little
They're a little too flush.
Yeah, a little too flush. Yeah. And they give a little too easily. Like it needs to be just a little click when you touch them, but that's okay. You just get used to that. Okay, so that's the hardware. Software side, the first thing, which is really cool, is it comes with stock Android. So we talk about that a lot, right? Yeah. And stock Android is so, so cool because everything just works. In fact, I loaded the Google Now launcher on here, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And, you know, everything just works because it's running stock Android. So everything that – if you're a Google fan, everything that Google has created works great. Towel root works if you're a rooter like me. So one of the first things I did was I went and got towel root, tried it out. Sure enough, I got root access right away. It's an awesome game. Apps to SD works. There's an SD card option with this. And so apps to SD works out of the box. So you can put those big apps on your SD card instead of on the built-in memory. And there's a couple other things. The only things really that NVIDIA added to this, if you go back to the home screen, and click on the NVIDIA group. Go back there. Yeah. So there's NVIDIA Hub. If you click on the Hub, that's basically their software. It's like the Play Store for software. If you do go to shop, at the top there we go. So what they're doing is they're showing you the games that are tailored to run on the thing. But if you go to get it now, it just goes to the Google Play Store. Like there's no.
So it's like a pseudo shop.
Yeah. It's like an overlay for Google Play, basically, for the Google Play Store.
Well, I guess that's good integration.
I mean, sort of. I actually like that better than them developing their own store.
Yeah.
But it's a little weird. It's like, well, why even have it then? You'll notice on there that Portal 2 and Half-Life 2, or Portal and Half-Life 2 are both on there. And as soon as I get my controller, which was back-ordered, I'm going to be buying and installing those. They work really well. What else? So the other thing you can do with this is game stream. So if you're not familiar with that, you can basically stream games from your PC to the tablet and play on your tablet. So if you have a big gaming rig at home like I do, you're supposed to be able to get this thing to work, and you do it through this hub app as well. So if you go back to shop at the top left, and then there's a spot there. Yep, go back and open that menu. There's a spot there that says My PC Games. There it is. And if you click on that, it'll say, you know, try to connect with your PC. I have not been able to get this to work. I spent a couple hours on it. It just does not work. And from what I've been reading online, everybody's having a problem with GameStream right now. It's just not working, unfortunately. One other thing that's really cool about this, not to monopolize the time here, but it does have a stylus.
Oh,
so
really?
For people that do like stylus, it's really cool. It's up here in the corner.
Oh, I see.
And if you pull it out, it automatically opens the features that you might want to use a stylus, like paint and stuff.
Oh,
so, yeah. Pops open that little screen. Go to the Dabbler. Go to the Dabbler. The Dabbler's awesome. My daughter loves this. You can paint and do watercolor. That's the picture my daughter drew.
Oh, I don't want to ruin your daughter's picture.
Well, you can color on it. She saved the picture. So you can paint. It does watercolor, and it does simulates oils and different types of canvas. And so if you have a kid, they're really going to love this. Or even if you're like a semi-professional artist and you like drawing on electronic devices, this is going to be really good for you. You're really going to like it. They can do different colors and different textures. It's really, really fun. So they did a good job with that app. But the biggest thing about it is the games. And this thing runs games like there's no tomorrow. I have not been able to find anything yet to throw at this that it will not run. So we're going to look at some of those later. But I've downloaded a ton of stuff just trying to slow this thing down, and I cannot do it. If you just swipe down this way, you can go on the screen. So swipe over once. I mean, I've tried everything, all kinds of games on this thing, and I cannot get it to hiccup. There it is. You must have smooth fingers.
Yeah, that's very lady fingers.
Dry skin. You can see some of the games there that I've put on this thing. I mean, I've tried to do just about everything. I just can't. If I can load it on here, it runs, and it runs great. Riptide's really fun on this, by the way.
That's Jason's. If Jason was here, he would say this is the stock.
The go-to.
The demo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've already been playing it a little bit.
Because of all the water and all that stuff.
The water and all that stuff. I mean, it really does a good job
in
rendering the graphics and stuff. I just can't get it to slow down. It's really, really good. So anyway, that's the review. There's absolutely no lag. I can't say enough about this. If you're in the market for an 8-inch size tablet, you're going to want to get this. I mean, if you're into games. If you're not into games, Nexus 7 is fine. But if you're into games and you want to just get a little bit more horsepower out of your system, you're definitely going to want to get this because it is a great, well-built tablet. Very much worth the price. You're also going to want to get the cover and the controller for it, which adds about another $100. Because you're going to be playing games on this so much, you're going to want that dedicated controller. So if we can pry it out of Ron's hands.
Oh, I don't think that'll be a problem.
That's my review. Here it comes.
It's very hard to play a game on a tablet that involves moving the tablet while watching it through a camera on a TV screen.
Yeah. You're doing a great
job. Literally, now I can't see what I was doing, so now I need to look down. And now we're just going to watch me play
problems.
A game. So there you go.
There you go. That's right, cool. NVIDIA Shield tablet.
Well, that's awesome. I was curious about that because we had the first Shield thing was the controller with the flip thing and whatever, and so now there's that.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
How much is it again? Did you say?
So it's $299, and then the controller is like $60, and the cover is like $30. So
it's not that bad. You know, it's the price of a gaming system.
Yeah. Now they do have another version as well. If you don't already know, that does LTE, has built in. cellular network connectivity. That's $100 more, but you also get 32 gig of internal memory instead of 16. So might be worth it for you, but for me, I'm good with the 16, especially with that extra SD card I can add to it.
Cool.
Aaron, dumb question. Talk to me about gaming on a tablet with a controller. Is there a kickstand? Like, are you just setting up your tablet, like leaning up against something?
Yeah.
Don't you need both hands on your controller?
So that's another reason why you need to buy the cover for it. The cover there, you can see a picture of the cover actually propping it up.
Okay.
We're very much like an iPad cover. It props it up on two different angles. So depending on where you're at or how you're looking at it, you can prop it up two different ways. Trine 2 is an awesome game. My daughter loves it. So the cover, and the cover has built-in magnets and things, very much like the iPad covers that you're used to. So it's really well built. It not only protects your tablet, but also you're able to prop it up. And also, the other thing about this is, with the controller, you can just plug this in with the built-in HDMI out. You can plug it into your big screen TV and play your favorite game right there from your couch.
Then it becomes a game system.
It becomes a game system, a portable game system. So you take this on the road with you, plug it into the TV in the hotel room or whatever.
And you're going to, in the arena, you're going to use this and you're going to plug it into the HDMI here.
I'm going to plug it into the HDMI, exactly. Yeah. The other thing I didn't mention that's really good about this, again, for games, is it runs emulators really well. I'm a big, retro game fan. I love running emulators on my phone. And so I put all the emulators on here, tried them all out to make sure they work. They work great. There's no lag. There's no downtime. There's no pauses in any of the games. So if you're into running emulators, it makes a great little MAME machine.
Nice.
If you're running MAME games, really cool.
I was at California Extreme a couple of weeks ago. That was some awesome retro gaming.
I bet.
I had a good time. I came this close to buying one of the old Vector Graphics Star Wars arcade machines. It was like only $1,500. I'm like, that's affordable.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't affordable. I didn't buy it.
It wasn't affordable. But it was awesome.
I mean, it was enough to be like, oh, because like I was there for pinball.
Right, right.
The pinball machines are like $5,000.
Yeah, so
that's crazy. Anyway, cool. Awesome. So NVIDIA Shield tablet. Featuring a lovely stylus, and here's a segue for you. If you're a fan of styluses, there's going to be even more products on the market. We're going to check in a little bit with LG, as LG, they kind of slipped in a stylus there in one of their promotional videos recently. They rolled out a promotional video for the G3 line, and in the video you can actually see, and there's a screen grab on Brian if we could show. But as they're showing the LG G3 and the LG G3 Beat, that's the wrong story there, Brian. Ooh, that's the poll. Well, Brian just hit
we
a wall.
We were doing so well.
Brian was doing so well.
Oh, man.
I didn't make fun of him. It was, he did the voiceover during the news bumper. It was great.
So close. Okay.
So close.
Now I think I've got it.
So LG rolled out a video promoting the G3 line, and we see the LG G3, the LG G3 Beat. And then at the very end of it there, you see the LG G3 stylus, which looks to be a Note competitor, which is curious coming from LG. But it kind of makes sense, given LG's kind of recent resurgence in the marketplace, which leads to the next story, which is a brief little kind of a carrier announcement, as AT&T adds the LG G-Pad 7.0 to its lineup on August 8th. You'll be able to get it for $150 on contract, or $250 without contract, just outright, which, if you're in the market for a tablet, there's not a lot of options. Like Samsung has been pretty dominant, at least in the storefront side of things. Of course, there's the Nexus and things like that. But to see LG, kind of teaming up with AT&T and offering the LG Pad in addition to this new G3 line, in addition to the Guach, it seems like LG is kind of is making some moves.
Right, right. Yeah. They're moving into the number three spot. I mean, obviously Samsung's got to be number one, right, in terms of Android handset manufacturers, whatever. Are they number two, or does that go to Google's? I mean, do you put the Nexus line in with that? Because
I mean, it's just still an LG phone. It's still, I mean, the Nexus 5 is LG. I would count this as an LG
phone.
Nexus
4 and 5.
Exactly. So
I think that definitely puts LG into the number two spot.
I think HTC has definitely faded. We've seen it, despite, Gina, your love for the HTC, even though you're now loving the OnePlus One, right?
I am. I'm rocking the OnePlus One right now. But yes, I do love the HTC. In fact, I like that Shield tablet because it looked like the HTC One a little bit.
So it's interesting to see LG kind of evolve and growing. And one note mentioned the Guach. Last week we were talking about the problem with the charging and the kind of overheating and people getting injured. Well, LG has released a system update for the Guatch that many people have been getting, an over-the-air update, which is said to resolve the charging problems, charge the hardware issue. And I guess we'll find out live in person because, oh, look at this. I got a Guatch.
Ooh. Hey.
Yeah. Nice. So a big thanks to Adam, who enjoys the show. He actually got an extra Guatch and reached out to me and said, hey, man, I got an extra watch. And so we worked out a deal. And sure enough, it arrived yesterday. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. I still don't know what I'm doing, but it's really cool. And so
yeah, you digging it?
I'm digging it. I'm digging it so far. Although I do got to say, after wearing the Samsung one that is like molded to the wrist, the Guatch design really is kind of like, oh, this is very square. Or rectangular. Yeah. This is very angular. Very this is not meant to be ergonomic.
Sticks out a little too much.
Yeah. But that said, I almost reordered my Chinese food order from the E24 app about 6 times. So sooner or later, I'll get the hang of it. But it's cool. I mean, it's already. Already I was at work and I was typing and I felt the buzz. I looked. I got a text message. I just kept on working as opposed to where I used to look at my phone. It's like so far it's been great. So love the Guatch. So we'll see. Although my heart is with the Moto 360.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so we'll see. But now you can look forward to Android Wear apps for me in the arena. So I'm the last holdout on our Android Wear on the show. So
they're a big winner, Ron. You pick those Android Wear apps.
I will. Yeah.
So do it.
All right. Well, speaking of Google.
Speaking of Google, Google is experimenting with a new Google Workshop tool, which would help users customize their smartphone cases. So this is according to Android Police, who got some juicy preview screenshots from I don't know where. There's this tool currently called Workshop that's only for the Nexus 5 right now. And they've built out like the full interface and user experience, and there are these two main tools that let you customize a case for your Nexus 5. And there are two choices right now. One is called Map Me, and that takes your current location and offers some kind of canned suggestions, like your hometown or where you met someone special, and create like a themed case using different colors, or adding text or images, and Map Me will even come with like a live wallpaper. And then there's a Moments tool, which I think sounds similar to Google Plus Stories or Auto Awesome, where basically it will suggest, you know, highlights or photos, personal photos or great photos that would you can upload photos and choose one to put on your smartphone case. Hmm. And then I guess you can just order one of these cases for your phone. So it's the kind of the next level in customizing accessories for your Nexus 5. This isn't live. This might just be kind of a hint or maybe just an experiment that we'll never actually see. But these screenshots seem to indicate this is a pretty mature product. So maybe this is kind of the next level of, you know, the hardcore customization that we started to see with the Moto X. What do you guys think? Are you dying for a customized phone case with like pictures of your kids and like the beach on vacation?
I want pictures of ones. I want pictures of other people's kids on my phone. No, the thing is, I've generally been anti-case. I've generally like I never use a case. I don't really like it, or whatever. But this, if I could pick the photo and it does that, that's pretty cool because I know a lot of, I've got access to a lot of great art and things like that. And, you know, if it allows, you know, like I think the personalization aspect, the map one is just seems silly. That's just kind of like, oh, this is a map of where you are. But the Moments one I think is really interesting in how it's tying to your personality and making it really about you. If you have more control over that, if I could take that and use it to make art or whatever it is. And it all depends on what the final product is. I mean, if it's that cheap kind of, you know, flash printing on it that comes off after a lot of use, it might not be as good. But if they figure out some way to manufacture these, which these days I wouldn't be surprised. It's pretty neat. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
I think it's kind of cool. I mean, you can already buy this, I think, online from certain vendors. So it's kind of interesting that Google has it. I wonder if it's going to be. I guess it's really the tie-in is the thing, right? The tie-in to your photos and stuff. So it would suggest, hey, you might want to buy this case.
This is a great photo.
Maybe that's the thing. I don't know, but it seems like people are already doing this, third-party products and things, and for more obviously more than just the Nexus 5. So I don't know. It's kind of cool. I do like cases, but I like minimalistic cases. So like my case is just black. You know, I try to keep it as minimal as possible. It's really only there to keep me from scratching it or something so that I can sell this device later on. and get a discount on my next phone purchase. So, yeah, I don't know. Not too exciting, but it's cool.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
Speaking of cool,
I thought you would like this, Aaron. This is right up your alley.
It is, but it's so unbelievable. It kind of blows my mind a little bit. So let's tell you what we're talking about. First of all, Android Police ran a story on a teardown of the Oculus Rift. Everybody knows what the Oculus Rift is, but they have a dev kit out there, Dev Kit 2, and they did a teardown on this. And actually, what's inside is a Samsung Galaxy Note 3 front panel and screen, at least. Which is, it kind of blows. I thought this was the Onion at first. I'm like, really? Is this like April 1st? I don't get this, but apparently it's true.
I mean, for those who aren't familiar with Oculus Rift, it's, you know, kind of the future of virtual reality. Facebook bought it, et cetera. But there was a great article in Wired recently that kind of went through the background of the company and the history of the company. But basically all it really is, the kid who invented it, it just took
a split screen.
Took a split screen cell phone panels, right, and just added lenses to it and adjusted the display on the screens through the lenses, so then it appears virtual reality. So I totally believe that it's a Galaxy Note. I mean, it makes sense. The form factor, the size, the company, you know, has got more resources now that Facebook's bought them and they've got more funding, and so they could easily reach out to Samsung and say, hey, we need screens to power this thing. Like, I'm not surprised at all by this.
Yeah, for me, I was like, you know, we've all seen the parodies of things like Google Glass, you know, where someone just tapes a cell phone up to their eye, or the same thing with Google Wear, where they just put a cell phone on their wrist, you know, kind of duct tape it down, ha ha ha, you know, and then this comes along and it's like, oh, I thought it was just another one of those.
Well, it's honestly a lot like cardboard.
It is. Yeah,
know,
exactly.
That cardboard was what I thought of when I saw this. I was like, oh, yeah, that's cardboard, right?
It's like cardboard, but real.
But for real. Yeah. So it's crazy, but why not? If it works, it works. I mean, it's really all about the software that goes into this and the, like you say, the technology with the glasses and making sure that everything's lined up. I mean, it's really more about that, but it does demystify things a little bit, I think.
It's cool. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's neat. So, excellent. All right. Well, you had mentioned that you like to keep your phone nice. You want to recycle it when you get your next phone. Well, I know where you could do that.
Really?
You could do that at Gazelle. We want to thank them for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. Are you thinking about getting the new HTC One or the Samsung S5 or any other new Android phone? Did you just get a new Nexus 7 tablet or Moto X? Gazelle wants to buy your used Samsung, HTC, and other Android devices. You can lock in your price today and send it to Gazelle and when you get your new one, because Gazelle's offer is good for 30 days. Gazelle makes selling your gadgets fast and simple. Go to gazelle.com. That's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com and find your item. Tell Gazelle the condition. They'll even buy broken phones and tablets. You'll get a risk-free offer for your gadgets and free shipping. And then you'll get paid fast by check, PayPal, or an extra 5% with an Amazon gift card. Go to gazelle.com now to get an offer for your used Android or Apple products. You get paid in cash. Payment is fast within a few days of the item being received. And it's totally safe and risk-free. Offers are good for 30 days, giving you time to transfer your data or set up your new device. Gazelle will also wipe your data absolutely for free. It's totally trustworthy. Gazelle has paid more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers. And they've done that by making it super easy. Free shipping. Most items qualify for a free box. They got a fast process. There's no listing hassles. It's super easy to find your device, get a quote, and then move forward with it. So find out what your Android device is worth. Take a minute. Go to gazelle.com to find out. Do it now because your device may lose value the longer you wait. So go to gazelle.com, get some money for your device, get a new device, and life will be great. So thanks, Gazelle, for sponsoring this episode. All right. So that said, without Jason here, I want to take a look to see if there were some emails or kind of some community involvement. But I actually saw something going on in Google Plus recently that I thought was interesting. As we talked about last week ad nauseum, and I apologize, I was down in San Diego at San Diego Comic Con, and I found myself having to work in the field and on the go, and I was bouncing between Evernote and Keep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking quick notes in Keep, but I had a lot of documents in Evernote and things like that. So I just went on to Google Plus, and I just said, hey, everybody, Evernote or Keep, which one? Which one should I use? And I got a ton of responses. I got 72 comments on it, which I thought was amazing. I've been an Evernote user for years, but Google Keep, I hadn't really started using until July. So before we talk about what the community said, where do you guys weigh in on this? Do you use Evernote? Do you use Keep? Gina, what is your preferred note-taking app?
I use both, actually. Okay. So I use Evernote to clip things that I want to hold on to from the web mostly. So like recipes, business articles, that kind of thing. I use Keep as like post-its, like digital post-its. I use the widget on my phone's home screen, and I jot quick notes and delete them. So if I have to remember the combination to, you know, get, you know, on one of the office doors, or if I have a quick list I need to look at, I'll use Keep. But Evernote, I want to keep stuff. I know that's like a very subtle distinction, but I think a lot of it, and when you posted this on Google Plus, I was like, well, for what? Like, what do you use these for? I think they have different uses. Like, you can't clip web articles to Keep the way you can with Evernote, mm-hmm. and like, yep. maintain all the images and stuff, for example. So like recipes, for example, so I use that. That's my primary use for Evernote. But it, you know, it really just depends. I think Keep is great for on the go though. And I really love the widget, on my home screen. Yep. Very useful.
Aaron, where do you weigh in on this?
I'm a Keep user. I've never really, used anything else. I mean, ever since Keep came out, I used to use like, you know, just Notepad or whatever, not on the Android, but you know, I used to use whatever text editor or whatever. So when Keep came out, I was like, oh, this is cool. Cause it's synced across all my devices. I really like it. I don't use all those extra features that Gina just mentioned. So for me, Keep is perfect. I can take it to a meeting, jot down a few notes that I need to remember. I've actually started taking notes at meetings, which is good because otherwise I'm getting old enough, I forget things. And things like I use it for shopping lists and sometimes recipes and sometimes Android tablet reviews like today. So I just type everything in there and just to remind myself, you know, what I'm going to talk about. So for me, Keep works great.
It was interesting for me because, like I said, I've been an Evernote user for years since it came out, and I don't use it for the way, Gina, you mentioned, you know, with the web page clippings and things like that. I use it mainly for what it sounds like Keep is great for, which is taking quick notes. Right. I have it on my desktop. I kind of keep, you know, kind of to-do lists and things like that. Sometimes some more, you know, larger documents, but the whole great thing was being able to access it on the road.
Right.
And what actually made me switch over to Keep was that I changed the password to my Evernote account and I didn't save it to LastPass. I couldn't remember and I couldn't get to the desktop to reset the password. I was too busy. So I'm like, all right, let me just go. I'll use Keep because I need to take this note real quickly.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, this is interesting. And so that's why, I thought Keep was actually being able to do everything I needed it to do, but without. Also, I should mention that I was reviewing all my micro payments, my monthly subscriptions. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done this yet, by the way, go through your checking account in a month and see what you're paying, $4.99, $3.99 for all these services. I killed like 75% of them, and I think I'm saving over $250 a month now, so it's crazy. Yeah. But
that's great.
That said, I was like, well, do I need Evernote? Like, is that really do I need to pay this extra amount? I was kind of fascinated by the results on the Google Plus conversation because the overwhelming winner was between the two was Keep. Of the 72 comments, about 19 were pro Keep and 6 were pro Evernote. But what emerged was 18 people saying use both. Similar to the way Gina kind of mentioned, is that one, you know, works in a nice little, you know, Keep is good for taking quick post-it notes, but then Evernote is more full featured, has all this stuff. But then a whole bunch of other people said neither. Or something else, and a lot of people pushing OneNote, which I thought was interesting. Because OneNote is not something I've played with as of yet.
Right.
So I'm going to check out OneNote to see coming out of it. OneNote is supposedly being able to take the best of Keep and the best of Evernote and put it all into one place. So,
That's kind of cool. I think that the Keep will get more popular, again, just based on the Googleverse aspect of it, where, you know, you're, like I said, I use it for a shopping list.
Yep.
So then all of a sudden I get a card that pops up on my phone that says, oh, remember the milk, right? Yeah. So I think that just based on the more you use Google stuff, I think Google Keep, if they develop it right, could be very useful in the future. So I'm kind of like hanging on to it for that as well. Like I said, I don't use those other features, and I'm kind of hoping that, you know, Google Keep will develop into something a little better as they integrate it with other Google products.
Well, yeah, and that's really the thing, like, because I did remember the one, because I was wondering, like, why am I paying for Evernote? Like, why am I actually paying for this? And a couple of years ago when I had a team and we were at, like, a convention and in the field, we have a shared notebook where we, you know, have, like, a schedule, like kind of your production schedule, and everyone can see that and access it and add notes to it and that kind of collaborative aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm doing less of that collaboration, so I don't really feel that need for it. But if Keep had a team kind of Keep, you know, note or whatever.
Yeah, like Google Docs or something where you can share it.
Yeah, I guess because Google Docs does that as well.
But
anyway, so lots of options to do lots of the same thing. That's what I'm finding out. So,
But they're all slightly different. Like, it's all subtle distinctions. Mm-hmm. It depends on your use case. But it's true. There are a lot of options at this point.
And Pushbullet's starting to, I love Pushbullet, and they're starting to kind of get into that territory too. Like, oh, send this note to your friend. Just push it, you know, or send this file to your friend. And they're kind of trying to get in on that game from a different angle, I think. So, yeah, a lot of competition.
Yeah. Well, I said I was very impressed with Keep. I mean, I haven't touched Keep since it came out, and then I was there, needed to take notes, and it worked great. And mm-hmm. So
it's a great app. Keep is a great app. So I don't feel like it gets a lot of love. I think it got a lot of love in Google Plus because I think the Google Plus, like, people who are using Google Plus are very biased toward Google.
Sure.
But when I talk to my friends who aren't as embedded in sort of the Googleverse as I am, I'm like, Keep. They're like, what is that? Like, just not, and like tech savvy folks, but they're just iOS and Twitter and like not sort of in the Google community. I feel like it's one of those undersung Google properties mm-hmm. that not a lot of people know about, but it's a great app.
I am very impressed by the Keep integration with the Guach, with the Android Wear, that I can actually, you can, Brian, if
yeah,
you...
Yeah, take a note.
Brian asleep at the wheel. No, I don't want to archive it.
Where is it?
Go away. There it is.
Yeah, it's hard to see.
You can't really see, but...
Wow. Bright.
It's very bright. But anyway, I can go through my notes. You know, oh, there you go. I took a note that I met Joyce. Where is it? Joyce, AAA fan. I met Joyce at Comic-Con, and I wrote down her name to remember it. So there you go.
Hi,
so
Joyce.
You can pull up lists there? You can...
You can
pull... So, if I pull up my shopping list, and
yeah, this is pulling up all my... these are all my notes from Comic-Con. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Your notes are amazing.
And you see, this is my to-do list. I had stuff to do. I had to... You know, I did that, and so... You can check stuff off.
Oh, that's cool.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
That's so useful for shopping.
Yeah. So there you go. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Here, one of my things to do at Comic-Con was to shave.
Oh, that's
success.
So...
Yep. So there you go.
That's good.
That tells you how awful it is. No, anyway. All right, cool. Well, that was fun. Let's talk about some more apps. All right. So speaking of Google, I feel like that's my go-to segue this episode.
Speaking of Google. Android.
Yeah, right.
Google released the source code for the Google I/O 2014 app. This is something they've done several years now. They issue this Google I/O 2014, or each year they've done a Google I/O app. It's basically just a really nice-looking conference app where you can see schedules and watch videos and read speaker summaries. I think even you can get slides. You can mark down what's on your schedule. Well, they've released the source code. It is an open-source app, which is really also really nice because it kind of serves as a reference for developers who are looking to see, you know, looking for sort of the latest and greatest in Android design patterns and development patterns. So, you know, of course, Google writes that one of the goals of the app is to be useful to conference attendees, but it's also about providing example to developers. And what makes this year's Google I/O app a little bit different is that in addition to just kind of using the regular bits that lots of different Android apps would use, like the, you know, the action bar and the navigation drawer and that kind of thing, and also how to, you know, integrate into Google services like Google Drive or Google Cloud Messaging. This app uses the material design approach. So it uses all the Android L preview APIs and the full Android Wear integration in the app itself. So for sending session feedback, for example, you can pull up Android Wear and there are hooks to send session feedback that way. So really useful for developers who are looking to see, you know, what is a well-written Android L app look like? What does material design look like? And so that source code is available. This isn't the kind of thing that I think a beginner can really dive into, but for someone who has a little bit of experience, nice reference example for developers.
I like that kind of putting their money where their mouth is. So saying, you know, we rolled out this new design approach and we did it for the app, and now here, go see how we did it. Like, that's kind of cool.
Right. So. And this is a developer conference, right?
Right.
I mean, people talk about, oh, what's going to be released? What's going to be talked about? What's going to be new? But really, it is for developers. And so, rightly so, they should release this source code. And it's great that they did it both, you know, as an example of how to do it with something new like this, but just to release all that code. I mean, it's such a – if you're looking – sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around. And, Gina, you can speak to this more than I can, but sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around all the changes. They talked about a lot of changes in the way code gets developed with this new look and feel. And – it's just nice to have that demonstrated and have an example to go to say, oh, that's how they did that, or that's how they moved that hamburger over to the left, or, you know, I mean, it sounds silly, but, you know, in a lot of ways you go through and you're like, why isn't this looking like they showed it? So this is just so great.
Yeah, I mean, I find that I copy and paste code from other apps more than I actually like read the documentation and compose the mm-hmm. you know the block of code mm-hmm. myself. And I've had other developers come to me and be like, "How did you do this in To Do Text?" And I'd be like, "Here's the file." I'd be like, "Oh, great, thanks." You know, and you copy and paste and adapt, right? Real developers do this.
Yep.
It's not just hacks.
Yeah. And you know, Gina, you do this on your own. At least I do. I go back to like, you know, oh, how did I do that? Like I was writing this thing and I made it do this. How did I do that? I don't remember. So you go back and you look at the script you wrote, you know, whatever, several years ago, and you like copy and paste. I mean, that's what you do. Yep. So yeah, that's really cool.
Absolutely.
We live in a copy and paste generation. So,
yeah, but you're learning too. I mean, it's not just, you can't just copy and paste. You got to know what you're doing, right? But
I like to evolve it.
Yes.
Copy, paste, evolve.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's that last bit. It's that key. It's the evolve. It's the C and P and E. There you go.
It's going to be the new motto for Google I.O. 2015. Copy, paste, evolve.
Well, so earlier we were talking about the Google Now launcher on your tablet.
Yeah, right? I kind of gave that away. Yeah. So speaking of things being released out into the wild, Google Now launcher is now available from the Play Store if you're running a device that previously wasn't supported but is at least up to Android 4.1 or later. So again, Android Police, seems like an Android Police show today. They've got a lot of news going on here. They noticed that this was out in the Play Store. And sure enough, as soon as I saw this in the rundown, I'm like, really? Because that's one of the things that was not on the tablet. It was the stock launcher. It wasn't the Google Now launcher. So as soon as I saw this, I went out to the store. And sure enough, it was there. Installed it. Works great. So you definitely, if you're kind of missing out on the whole Google Now, like being able to say, okay, Google from your home screen and all that, you definitely want to go check this out and load it if your device is 4.1 and up. So,
I love this launcher.
Yeah, I do too.
Launcher's great.
It's my default launcher.
It is. It's mine too. I used to use other launchers, Nova Launcher and a bunch of other ones, and I kind of went back and forth. But I don't know. Again, it kind of goes back to the Google look and feel. I mean, you know, it's very consistent. It's very comfortable. You get the card integration by swiping to the – I guess you swipe all the way to the right. But it's all the way on the left. And it's just nice to have. It makes you feel like you're at home and you know where everything is. So
yeah.
How important is it that this little video demo of the Google Now launcher that Google put with it is not San Francisco Bay Area based? That whole demo was Chicago, which I was, because so many times you see the demo and they just defer to what's right here. And they're getting smarter now. They're doing other cities. They're highlighting other, you know, they're realizing it's not just us.
It makes you think like they've got enough negative feedback that they're like, they're right. Exactly. We really need to do something else besides San Francisco.
But hey, you get to see hot dogs promoted in a video for Google Now. Yeah. So that's good. So. Cool. All right. And so the last little bit of app news, it seems like everybody wants a messenger app these days. It seems all the major kind of app players are rolling out these kind of spin-off apps. The latest is Instagram, which is also owned by Facebook. And Instagram is rolling out Bolt, which is their new messaging app. It's similar to kind of, I guess, Snapchat or more recently TapTalk, which is basically a one-tap messaging app that lets you quickly send a photo or a video to a friend and then disappears once it's been read. But what's interesting is that they rolled it out in New Zealand, Singapore, and South Africa only. So if you are watching the show and you are in South Africa, Singapore, and New Zealand, you can go download Bolt and check it out. Let us know what you think of it. Let us know if it works well. Basically, I guess their plan is they're rolling it out into small markets to see how it performs, and then we'll expand as it grows. But interesting to see, you know, Instagram moving away from the core Instagram app to a messaging app. I don't really know what the value is or not, other than just play, you know, kind of keeping up with the Joneses in terms of seeing, you know, a small startups like TapTalk, you know, getting getting, you know, kind of emerging and taking some of the photo marketplace or not. So Instagram Bolt, stay tuned to a market near you.
I think it's all about the eyeballs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've seen the success, especially now that they're part of Facebook, right? It's all about the eyeballs and trying to get people to use their stuff as much as possible, you know, whether it's serving up ads to those people that are looking at it or using it, or just making sure that they keep people coming back into the Instagram or Facebook universe.
Well, and it's also interesting because Facebook Instagram did roll out direct messages within Instagram, which and I can only speak for myself and my friends, but nobody uses. No one uses. Like I think I got one when it rolled out that was like, hey, testing this, and like no one used it. So I wonder if they saw that, okay, we rolled out this piece of functionality and not many people are using it. How is there a way to interact with, you know, get users to interact via our platform in a messaging format that plays to our strengths? Mm-hmm. So but it's interesting because to see the screenshots we're looking at, the design is kind of evolved. There you go, evolved again. But it's kind of, it's not the standard Instagram kind of look and feel. It looks like they're still, you know, they're pushing it forward a little more too.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
It's, on a side note, have you guys run into do you guys use Snapchat? I don't use Snapchat.
I do not use Snapchat. I'm not a teenager.
Yeah. My son uses it all the time. And I guess there's a bug with the Nexus 4 that I don't know if you guys have talked about, but it actually reboots your phone if you're a Snapchat user. Yeah, he just discovered this. And what was interesting about it was he's like, hey, Dad, my phone's rebooting. Do you know why? And I said, well, why don't you – he says, it's always when I use Snapchat. So why don't you uninstall Snapchat? Maybe there's just something installed wonky. Uninstall it and then reinstall it and see if it fixes the issue. And when he reinstalled it, he got a message from Snapchat saying – dear Snapchat users, if you're using a Nexus 4, you need to write Android or Google and tell them there's a bug in Android that's causing you to reboot your phone when you use our stuff.
Oh, wow.
We have nothing to do with it and can't fix it. It's got to be – Google has to fix it. I was like, Whoa, that's pretty bold.
That's going to be something in the Play Services or
like, something.
It's
got to
be something. Yeah. That could cause that.
I just thought that their response was pretty strong. Like I – surprised they're calling out, you know, Google directly. Like they must get enough complaints that they're like, look, there's nothing we can do. Go complain to Google.
Yeah.
So
interesting. All right. Well, it's that time. Let's go into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
So last week's arena was unprecedented in 172 issues. We've never had this occurrence happen. And now, after 173 episodes, right? 173 episodes, yet another unprecedented event has happened. In last week's poll, aapoll.com/172, we were looking at, we had four apps, Floatify, Dash, Bamboo Paper, and Flib. Which Flib was Jason's app, which we identified halfway through his review, had already been in the arena once by yours truly and lost.
Whoops.
Well, now it looks like the audience has rallied to Jason's support. And with 202 votes or 41% of the votes, Flib has won, with Bamboo Paper coming in second with 114 votes, Dash with 101, and Floatify 70 votes. But unfortunately, we can't honor this win because it was already in the arena and lost. So Bamboo Paper is going to take it on a technicality. Oh. So Mike, my streak continues.
Well, you can still feel vindicated, though.
Ooh. How sad this is for you, Ron, that this translated into two losses for you. Not only did you lose Flib the first time, you lost to Flib the second time.
Well, that's
your streak is done.
That said, I feel like Flib in the original arena needs to get inflated to at least a tie, if not, you know.
Nice try. Nice try, mister.
This arena snafu is causing it's a ripple effect. The walls are coming down on the arena.
Someone needs to build an app for the app arena so that we don't have any more issues.
It was a rough week for Jason. We're gonna let it slide. So that said. Jason's not here, so I can make the rules. Yeah. So there you go. No. Congratulations, Jason. You won in absentia. All right. So that said, Gina, why don't you lead us off with your app?
Okay, great. Yeah, sure. So my app this week is a very, very, very simple free app. It's called LAS Last App Switcher. So that's what you search for in the Play Store, LAS Last App Switcher. And it's super simple. This app does something really easy, and it's something that I need a lot. If you're ever switching between two apps a lot, which I happen to do a lot if I'm processing my email inbox and I want to go back and forth from my to-do list app, for example, or my calendar app, Last App Switcher basically adds a last button to your home screen. So you know how your TV remote has that last button where you can switch between the last channel that you looked at? Or I think it's Alt-Tab on Windows to switch between your last two apps you've been using. That's what Last App Switcher does. It adds this little floating button on top of your phone's home screen that when you tap it, it just switches you between the last two apps that you were using. So it's a lot faster than using the actual app switcher. Yeah, there you go. It's got this kind of wacky settings page that's sort of stylish and crazy, but you really don't even have to mess with the settings. Like, I just basically installed this thing and use the default settings. You can change the transparency and the size of the button, but you see the button there. So, like, launch an app, launch any other app, and then you can, like, switch between them.
It totally revealed that the last app I played was Sum Sum.
Oh, man, this is... Yeah, so you can... Okay, so there you go. There's... Well, don't show your inbox.
Yeah, I know. Don't show my text message either.
Yeah, don't show your text messages. Yeah.
There you go.
So basically, that's all this app does. It gives you this quick switch button between two apps. It's not something that I'd keep on necessarily all of the time. But if you're actually, like, working on your Android device, like if you're switching between, you know, inbox and calendar or to-do list and inbox or game and email, whatever, you can just tap this button and switch really easily. You can move the button to anywhere on the screen. It can snap to the edge. You can change transparency. You can change the size to get it out of the way. But, really simple. Just basically think of it as Alt-Tab for your phone, basically. That's Last App Switcher. It is free. It has almost zero permissions. And, it's got a few settings there for size and placement. And that's about it.
That's pretty cool. I don't want to promote your app too much, but this could be really useful for me because what happens with me is I do conference calls. And mm-hmm. there's, like, this big, long code that I have to remember. And I can never remember it long enough to, like, get back to the phone thing and put it in. And so this could be perfect. Like, just hit it. Like, okay, what was that? Oh, yeah, those last four digits. Hit it again and go back and enter them. I might actually have to download. I don't, you know, like I said, I don't want to promote your app too much, but it's pretty cool. And I like the look and feel of this app too. Can you look at the, it's got a Google Now card feel to it. I like that.
Yeah it's got kind of a little bit of a crazy font going on there. But yeah, it's got the cards and kind of the couple on off switches. There's this one message about switching can only be done after 5 seconds. You get that every once in a while, but once you start using your device and like having a couple of different apps open, you stop getting that message and it just
Well, yeah, because you're using your apps for longer than 5 seconds, so yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. During regular usage, you wouldn't get that.
I'm really good at Sum Sum, by the way. I just want to say I got over 400,000 points this morning. See, there you go. I got 440.
The bonus of this app demo was seeing Ron's app history, like app usage history. That was awesome.
This close to making that game my app in the arena this week. This close. So
really, wow.
Anyway,
that's Last App Switcher. Last App Switcher.
Cool. That's a cool app. All right, Aaron, why don't you wow us with your HDMI tablet?
All right, I'll fire it up here, make sure Brian's got it to switch to. But first, there's some backstory. So my app is called Star Realms. And if you've been listening to me on the Twit Network long enough, you know that I'm into board games. So this is a board game crossover app. Now, Star Realms is a – in fact, here, I'll put it down here on the –
The vast spot.
Yeah. Star Realms is a – it's a card game. Basically, what you get in the mail when you order this thing is just this little box of cards. And it was a very successful Kickstarter board game. And they ran out – completely ran out of the Kickstarter stuff. They did a first printing, went to Amazon. They ran out. It's, like, really, really popular right now. All it is basically is a custom deck of cards with beautiful, beautiful designs and print on them. And I'll show you that in just a minute. So what they did, I don't know if they did this themselves or if they hired an app developer to do this, but they took the game and converted it very successfully over to an Android app. So that is my pick today. And this app is so cool. It's free to play, and then there's some locked features that you have to buy. It has a really, really good background. The music on it is really good. It looks really beautiful. They just did a wonderful job at making this. I won't go into how to play the game, but they just did a really good job at developing this for mobile platform. So one thing that has plagued board games that run on Android devices for a long time is you only have so much screen real estate. So as you can see from this, you can't really even read what the cards say. Yeah, they're beautiful and whatever, but it's really hard to see what they say. So all you have to do is long press on one of these cards, and it pops up, and it tells you exactly what they say. And after you've played this a couple of times, you don't even have to go back into it anymore. You know what they say and what they do. It has a great tutorial to show you how to play if you've never played the game before, or if you want to play it physically and you can't find it on Amazon because they've run out, you can just download the app and start playing and start learning how to play. The animations are really good. So if I hit play all, you know, it's cool. Got some little, some little sound effects and some little animations and stuff. And, you know, the cards kind of flip back and you're, oh, no, I don't want to cancel my combat. Let's attack these rebels. Boom. And then I can end my turn. And it deals me out some more cards, and then the computer AI gets to play. It's a really good, if you like deck builder games and you're into board games like I am, I would highly suggest going out and getting this game while you wait for it to actually come back out on Amazon. I think it was like $15 in the Kickstarter. And lately I've seen, because it's sold out, I've seen it to go for as high as $60 online. So don't pay $60 online. Get the Android app. And play it and have a lot of fun. And then if you do want to pay for the additional features, what you get is you get additional campaign missions, which is great. There's a sound. Isn't that awesome? I love it. You get additional campaigns, and you also get pass and play mode. So with pass and play mode, you can actually play just until your cards come in the mail. You can actually pass your tablet back and forth and play with another player. Who's sitting across the table from you, or while you're watching your favorite episode of Orange is the New Black, or whatever you're doing. So that's it. That's Star Realms. If you're a board game lover, go out and vote for this app because it is freaking awesome.
I like the jump from real physical cards to an app. That's clever. Well, especially with such a demand.
Yeah, and it doesn't always work. You know, sometimes it's just like, this doesn't work. I can't read what it says. I mean, I had trouble when I first loaded, I think, Settlers of Catan on my phone.
I love Catan.
It's great, but it's very hard to see on a smartphone. It's a lot easier to see on a tablet. But what they did here was like, you know, we don't have enough screen real estate to make all the print very big, so we'll just add a long press feature and let you see those cards up close if you don't know what they're doing. So they did a really good job. And I highly, highly recommend it, again, if you like deck builder games.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So my turn as we close out this arena. Every now and then you find that you stumble upon an app, and it's kind of one of those where you're like, yes, finally someone made this, and I wanted this, and I didn't even realize it. But apparently this app came out of a discussion on Reddit, which is kind of awesome. It's called Better Open With. And basically, it's a replacement for the Complete Action With window on Android, which on a good day is the bane of my existence. So that's whenever you click on a link in your Twitter app, or you click on a PDF, or you click on a movie file or audio file, Android wants to give you an option to choose the application that you're going to open the app with. But for whatever reason, it is consistently one of the most frustrating aspects of Android as in my daily use of it. Better Open With allows you to give you more control over the files that you're opening with, the applications you're opening them with, and then also has some neat, interesting interactions on how it's used. So, for example, for audio files, you can go through, I can select my preferred app. I want to play them with VLC. For browsers, you know, I've got standard Chrome Beta. Because I'm still catching up after installing this new phone, most often I've got Chrome Beta, I've got the LastPass browser, I usually have Firefox. I do a lot of testing, so you know, if you're a developer and you have a lot of different browsers, you might want to be able to look at things in the different browsers. But in your daily use, you can just say, hey, just stick with Chrome Beta. That's what I want to use. So you can go through and you can select all the various applications that you want to use. Like, for example, when you open a photo, why Gallery and Photos are both on my phone still drives me crazy. And you get that option every time. Mm-hmm. You want is Gallery or Photos, Gallery or Photos. And sometimes I switch. I'm not sure. I'm just going to stick with Photos, you know. And so you can go through and set that all up. And then there's some little settings. It added a countdown timer. So when you click on that file type, it brings up the window saying what app do you want to use, but if you don't make a response in 5 seconds, it will go with your default app, which is a genius little bit of interaction. Additionally, you can adjust the layout. You can show a list like Android Stock does, or you can do it in a grid. I'm going to do it in a grid. You can only show icons or no text. You can change the text size. So text size, change the theme. It gives you a lot of control. So if we actually go into practical use, if I go into Talon and if I click on a link here, it comes up Complete Action With, and it's got my three thing, and it's launching, it's counting down, and it's just going to launch on my default because I didn't do anything. So it gives you more control over what you're doing with those files, especially when you're getting into media files. I only want to open PDFs in Acrobat mm-hmm. Reader, not in, you know, default PDF Viewer or in Office or in Google Drive or whatnot. It's really, really clever in how it handles files. And that said, they're growing the app. They're going to add more file types. They're going to add more different kind of support. Basically, it gives you control over something that once you realize you didn't have control over it, it will drive you crazy. And it's one of those things I'm surprised Google has left as is for so long. It's one of the most unchanged aspects of Android for a while. So good job on the developers for kind of stepping up and building this out. Georgi Dalakashvili, I can't pronounce his name, but yeah, so it's a great app. So better open with, if you've ever been frustrated, by what app is launched when you click on a file type or a link type, download better open with and set it up. You'll take control over your links. So there you go. Simple, easy, convenient.
Yeah.
So awesome.
That looks cool to me.
Yeah. So if you go to AAAPoll.com/173, that's AAAPoll.com/173, Brian was supposed to set up the poll, and he did. So you can pick your favorite app, whether it's Aaron's Star Realms game, which is free, or $4.99, or Better Open With that I had, which is free, or Gina's Last App Switcher, which is also free. Select your favorite, and we'll see how the results are currently. And it looks as if Brian's already voted. And sure enough, there you go. Better Open With is taking the lead, an early lead. But we've learned that the early lead is not always one that stays. So, as evidenced by last week of Flib. So, so go to AAAPoll.com/173 and get your vote in before next week to find out who wins. Because it's competition.
That's right.
Is at its core. All right. Well, Aaron, thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet.
For joining us, for filling in Jason's big chair.
Anytime.
Yeah, appreciate thanks, it. Aaron.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys again. It's been a while, so.
It has.
Always glad to come over and help out, especially when I've got, you know, new stuff, new toys.
Toys to show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Where can people find you on the internet? Where can they find you after the show?
You can find me online at Google Plus. Sorry, I had a brain fart there. I am plus Aaron Newcomb on Google Plus, and that's where I spend most of my time. In fact, I put out some pictures about the new tablet. You guys suggested some great games to load and try out, and that's what's great about Google Plus. You can have a nice conversation with folks. Oh, the TRS-80.
Oh, wow. Have you been watching Halt and Catch Fire?
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, you got to watch it, dude.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. It's great. Oh. And it just finished. They just had the finale.
Yeah?
And I mean, we talked about it early on. Gina, did you stick with it or?
I didn't. But I think I'm going to go back to it because I've heard enough about it now.
Yeah, basically, it's a drama about the early 80s PC race. And it takes place in the Silicon Prairie in Texas.
Ooh.
But there, if you're a old retro hardware guy, there are so many Easter eggs on this show.
Like, oh, that's awesome.
For like three episodes, they're working on with a Commodore CRT monitor that I totally had.
Right.
And I'm like, I had that monitor. Like, it's like,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The photo of your TRS-80 reminded me of that.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. I'm just pulling up Google Keep so I can write that down.
Yeah, Halt and Catch Fire. Yeah. One episode takes place at Comdex, which I remember my dad took me to as a kid. And it was crazy. So
That sounds really good, actually.
Yeah.
So real quick, the other place you can find me
I didn't mean to jump on
No, that's great. That's what it's all about, man. The other place you can find me is at the Makerspace. So I'm the president of a Benicia Makerspace. And if you're in the Solano County area or nearby here in California, you want to come check us out because we're doing a lot of really, really cool stuff. Partnering with local schools and doing all kinds of free kids stuff and learning about electronics. So if you're in that area of the country, definitely look us up, BenishaMakerspace.org. And then don't just look us up. Come check us out and come do a project with us or show off a project you've been working on. I would love to see you there. That's it.
Cool. My watch just told me the Mets are losing. So there you go. Gina, where can people find you?
Well, when I'm not here on Twit doing all about Android, I'm working on ThinkUp, thinkup.com. It's my company and our first product, and it's a social network analytics tool. So we've got a free trial going right now. If you want to try it out, sign up with your Twitter or Facebook account. It'll give you all kinds of fun little insights and facts about your network. In fact, Ron gives very good ThinkUp. If you go to ronxo.thinkup.com, you can see what ThinkUp looks like.
See, my goal is to make it into your into the webpage examples.
We got to get you into the carousel.
Sure, yeah, you can go with Deuce, and that'll get you some noticing, but come on.
I actually, yours is one of the streams I check a lot, just kind of see how things are going, if the right insights are showing up. So I appreciate that. And when I'm not working on ThinkUp, I'm also co-host another show here on the Twit Network called This Week in Google, and it airs on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and I co-host that with Leo and Jeff Jarvis, and it's always a lot of fun. We talk about all things Google, sometimes a little bit of Android too. So if you like this show, you'll definitely like that show. So come on by and watch that tomorrow. How about you, Ron? What have you been up to?
I was just correcting myself. The Giants are losing. The Mets are winning.
Sweet.
Yes. So you can go to my ThinkUp. You can go to ronxo.thinkup.com to see my insanity. But you can also go directly and subscribe to my various feeds. Go to about.me/ronxo, or you can follow me on Twitter, on Google+, on Facebook, on Instagram, all the fun stuff. And by day, I am there slaving away at Image Comics. You can go to imagecomics.com, where we're putting out some of the best comic books in the world, including HowToons, which is a great comic book for kids and maker stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Make projects and things like that. Yeah, so there's new HowToons coming out. Yeah, so super excited. Fun stuff going on at Image Comics. So go to imagecomics.com and check it all out there. Excellent. So we survived another show without Jason. I'm proud of us. Good job, Gina. Good job.
Nobody died. Yeah, that's good.
Thanks. Does Brian get to do
this? Oh, Brian gets a plug. I forgot.
Thanks, Ron.
I'm sorry.
Man, I knew things were bad, but I didn't think they were that bad.
I was just zooming right into the... I was just sliding into home, man. I was just...
I got another base around there, friend.
Man, did I do that poorly tonight, Ron? Is that what happened?
Well, you did get the breaking news thing down. It's just that LG story is still stuck with me.
Yeah, I was busy downloading Google Keep, so I wasn't paying attention. So.
There you go. So where can we find you, Brian?
Well, thank you for the toss, Gina. But you can follow me on Cranky_Hippo on Twitter. And when I'm not behind the camera here messing up All About Android, I'm doing something called Know How on Thursday with Padre. And actually, we just got a new set down in the basement. This is our new workshop, so I don't know if you can identify that hardware there, Ron. Probably something pretty old, you know.
Well, that phone on the right looks pretty new.
I think that's got a weird video.
It's like
thing.
One of the first video phones.
Yeah. I don't. What are those? What is that?
That's down in the basement. That's going to be our new know-how workshop.
That's kind of awesome. Is that like the first portable IBM compatible? It looks like there's some floppy drives in there.
This is an Osborne on the side here.
Oh, is that an 8-inch? That's an 8-inch drive. Those are 2 8-inch drives on there, aren't there? Those 5 1/4.
I'm afraid to plug it in because the power cord's kind of frayed. But, you know, that's the situation we have at Know How.
Is this a bit? Are you doing a bit about Know How?
Kind of. Well, no, not really. That's just where we work now. I did recently take apart Shannon's Nexus 5. So that's coming out in a
cool.
few weeks. So
nice.
Check out Know How. Yeah. But you know what? Back to you, Ron. Back to you, buddy.
So enthusiastic about Know How. It's great. I can't wait. It's my favorite show. All right. So if you want to interact with us and contribute to the All About Android community, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can email us or send us a video mail, a link to a YouTube or any sort of video stuff, at our email address at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter at Android Show. We're on Reddit, which is a great place to get stories there. So go to twitaa.reddit.com. You can always find the show notes for this episode and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. And you can find us on YouTube and iTunes or wherever else you like to enjoy your video podcasts and netcasts. You can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for All About Android this week. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.